Last Sunday, I actually wasn't here because I had completely lost my voice. We did the school fete last week, and it was an awesome, awesome day. But by the end of it, I literally had no voice. And it was quite funny because on Tuesday, we had our staff meeting, and Kay and I weren't here. We were at home because both of us had lost their voice completely, the preacher and the worship leader. And so we've been believing and praying that we'd both have our voice. And this week, look, Kay was leading worship and I'm up here with a voice. Amen? God's good. Well, today it is Pentecost Sunday. And for those that are wondering, what is this Pentecost Sunday that we keep going on about? Well, 2,000 plus years on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and birthed the church and poured out his Spirit in power. And I'm going to be talking today about walking in power and how do we walk in power and why do we sometimes see a lack of power? Because I believe that as Christians, we have been given the Holy Spirit so that we may walk in power. And I just want you to be prepared today. Hold your seats and be prepared because sometimes we like to tell the Holy Spirit how he's to work. And we like to have him in a little box because it's uncomfortable when he breaks out of our little boxes. But I get a sense today that if you would just be open and you would be receptive, that he's going to come in a way that you didn't experience before or expect. That just be open, even as we're speaking, like if God is doing something in you, that's okay. That's okay. And I know right now God's doing something in someone. So Lord, we just welcome you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you just come and have your way? Lord, would you do a deep work in people today? Would you fall afresh like fire upon your people today? Lord, I pray, God, that we would trust you, that we would open our hearts and say, not my will, not my way, but Lord, your will and your way today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So I just want to start with a little bit of a testimony of my life. When I was 2.5, my parents had us, I was one of 4 kids, but there was only my sister who was a baby at that stage. And we're sitting around the dinner table and my parents shared the gospel and shared about Jesus and said, would you like to receive Jesus? And I said, yes, I want Jesus in my heart too. I want to go to heaven. That was my simplified understanding. And they told me that at the time, I was a real grumpy toddler. I was a bit of a pain. I mean, who would believe that? But apparently, I was a bit of a pain and had a sour look on my face, grumpy as. But when I received Jesus, I changed. And Mum and Dad, I don't remember this, but Mum and Dad said I went from being a grumpy toddler to one that walked around the house with a big smile on my face, singing praises unto Jesus. There was such joy in my heart. And who can say, like a little child can't receive Jesus? In my limited understanding, the Spirit did a work in my heart at that small age. And from a young age, I had an incredible desire to see people saved and an incredible boldness to stand up for Jesus. And I don't tell you that to boast, but I tell you that to tell of the Spirit's work in my heart and in partnership with me. I remember when I was 9, I was at a kids' camp and it was hundreds and hundreds of kids. There was from all different churches, and Peter Jackson, for those that may know that name, he was leading the camp, an incredible children's worker that reached many, many children for Jesus. And we were singing praises to Jesus, but everyone was sitting down. And at 9, or however old I was like, no, we cannot sit down singing praises to Jesus. So with the Holy Spirit boldness in me, I stood up, and as I stood up, slowly people began to stand up until the whole gym full of young people stood up praising Jesus. So when I was young, I understood that the Holy Spirit was with me. In high school, you would have heard me speak of this before, but I had a hit list of people I was going to see saved. I went to a Catholic school and some of them were Christians, but a lot of them were not Christians at all and did not understand the gospel. And so I had my hit list, and one of my poor friends, she was on my hit list, and I would be telling her about God and telling her about the things that God was doing. And she suddenly stopped me and she said, "Kyla, it's like God's inside you." She said, "You just make church and God seem so exciting." And, you know, God was inside me. You know, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And, you know, I've got many stories like that, but I also was a normal kid as well. And I got into fights often with my siblings and did all sorts of things. But my parents taught me from a young age about the Holy Spirit. And I remember we'd have family devotions as a family. And they weren't just your normal devotions where we'd read a passage and say a quick prayer. My dad, who was a pastor, he introduced us to the Holy Spirit. And he would lay hands on us and pray, "Holy Spirit, come." Oh, sorry. And I remember at those times the Holy Spirit would come. And I would feel this heat. There were times that he would give me prophetic words for my family, so profound. And again, I'm not boasting on me, I'm boasting on him. There was one time my pop was so unwell and my dad was praying about, "Lord, do I go? Is this the last time?" He lived in New Zealand. And God gave me a scripture. I didn't understand what it meant, but I shared it with my dad. And dad knew from that moment, hey, pop's going to be okay. I don't need to go. And he was okay. And, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to take up residence in us, and he wants to move in and through us with power. And he's not a respecter of age. He's not a respecter of gender. He's not a respecter of what nationality you come from, because we're going to read in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit came upon all people. So let's turn there. Acts 2, 1 to 4, and then we're going to jump to 13 to 21. It says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and come to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or in other languages that the Spirit had given as the Spirit enabled them." And then it talks about how they spoke in different languages from around their region. But then it jumps to verse 13 and it says, "Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They have had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. 'Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Now, 120 of them were in the upper room waiting and praying for 10 days, as Jesus had told them before he ascended, to wait for the Holy Spirit. And so they were waiting. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit would look like. They didn't know what the Holy Spirit would act like. But they were obedient and in faith, and they waited and they prayed and they read scriptures, both men and women, until one day, on the day of Pentecost, which was actually a harvest festival that the Jews would celebrate, and many would come from around to come into the center of Jerusalem for this festival. And so on that day, the Holy Spirit came like a rushing wind, like a roaring wind, and filled that place and fell like fire upon them. And after that, Peter preached the gospel, which we read further about in chapter 2, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. And so this tells the story of when the Spirit came to birth the church and to bring in the new covenant. Before this, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit had come just to rest on certain people, to empower them for certain tasks at certain times. But the Spirit didn't permanently reside on those people until Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was now available to all people at all times, both men and women, both young and old, both Jew and Gentile. So Jews were God's special people. The Gentiles were those that weren't part of God's special people. In other words, they weren't Christians as we know it today. So why was the Holy Spirit poured out? If we go back to chapter 1 in verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And so the Holy Spirit comes not so that we would be great, but he would be great and his name would be named great all around the earth. The Holy Spirit comes so that we have power to do the works of Jesus, so that we can overcome the sinful nature and we can be strengthened within. Yet not all people avail this precious gift. And not all people walk in the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to them through the baptism of the Spirit. And so today I want to look at walking in power, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And also, why is it that we don't see this power demonstrated at times? Why is it that we don't see our churches full of power that we read about in the Bible? So there's many reasons. Before we get into how to walk in the Spirit, I just want to look at a few reasons why we don't see, why we see a lack. The first one, I believe, is a lack of understanding or knowledge. And we will come to see that in Acts. In one of the examples they give, they actually didn't know about what was available to them. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. The second is fear. And this is a big one. And refusing to step beyond our comfort zone. We often sit comfortably without risk. And good on you, Mandy, for, you know, she was nervous, but she was obedient. And she stepped out in faith. And if we want to see Holy Spirit power working through us, and we need to learn to step out in risk. But we don't, because we're either don't want to be disappointed or we're uncomfortable at our own inadequacies. Yet then we do not see what will happen when we step out in faith. We will get it wrong at times, and that's part of the risk. And the third one is distraction. We've got one foot in the world and one foot in God. James talks about being distracted by the world and then and the things of God. And we've got this tension. We live a form of godliness, but we don't recognize its power. And so this is a big key, that we would be seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So how do we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? The first one that I want to spend probably the most time on is to be filled with the Spirit. Matthew 3:11 says, John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He, being Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." And for years there's been confusion about this, what has been called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are we baptized when we receive Christ, or is it a separate experience? And there are some very strong views on either side. Pentecostals have historically taught it's a separate experience, and it's evidenced by the speaking of tongues. However, we as a church would not teach that it must be evidenced by the speaking of tongues. And I've seen a lot of people that taught that many years ago that have actually come away from that the more they've studied the scripture. It is one of the evidences, but it's not the only evidence. And I think there's come a lot of condemnation for those that have struggled in this area. And so I just want to make that clear that I'm not teaching that it's the only evidence. I'm teaching that it's one of the evidence. However, the other question is it a separate experience? Or once you've received Christ, is that it? Done and dusted, which tends to be more of an evangelical view. So what does Scripture say? So we're going to do a little bit of a study through Acts this morning and actually look at and unpack what does Scripture say. So, first scenario that we see in Scripture. Some were filled with the Spirit after they were Christians. In Acts 8, Peter and John were sent to Samaria to talk to the new believers there. And we pick up from verse 15. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. They were Christians, they were baptized in Jesus, but yet they had not received the gift of the Spirit. Another scenario. Some were filled at baptism. And we see this in Acts 19. I'm just going to summarize the story. But there were some disciples there that were asked if they had received the Holy Spirit when they believed. And they replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So remember at the start I said one of the reasons why we don't walk in power is sometimes because it's a lack of understanding or knowledge. So they were then asked, "Well, what baptism did you receive then?" And they replied, "John's baptism of repentance." So then they are now baptized in the name of Jesus, and when Paul lays hands on them, the Holy Spirit comes upon them and they prophesy and speak in tongues. Another different story. Number three. Some received before they were even Christians. So in Acts 10 verse 44, again I'll just summarize it, you can read it there, but Peter was preaching the gospel and the Gentiles, which were people who didn't believe and weren't circumcised, were there, and when they heard the gospel along with the Jews, they all received the gift of the Spirit. And to the Jews and Peter's astonishment, the Gentiles were found speaking in tongues and praising God. And they said, "Even the Holy Spirit has come to them." And so they said, "Well, we better go and baptize them, because obviously they too can be baptized in the name of Jesus." And so they were baptized. So as we look at Scripture, we can clearly see that being filled with the Spirit is something different than receiving Christ. Does that mean that when you, until you're filled with the Spirit, so even if you become Christians before that, you don't have the Holy Spirit? Well, no, the Bible clearly does not teach that. Nikki Gumbel, I think, from Alpha, the Alpha course, speaks on this. And, you know, I've been a Christian all my life and have always been confused by all of this. And I've never had a clear answer from anyone. And it was 2 years ago that I was doing the Alpha course again with a group of people when it just, God just brought such revelation from it in the way that he explained it. And I just want to give you a quote from the Alpha course, what he says. He says, "Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living inside you, you don't belong to Christ." Romans 8:9 says that. But not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. In other words, indwelt with the Spirit is different to being filled with the Spirit. See, Paul wrote to Ephesus, who were already Christians, and he says to them in chapter 5, verse 18 in Ephesians, be filled with the Spirit. And the Greek word he uses for the word filled here is in the present continuous tense. And so it means it's not just a once-off filling. It means be filled and go on being filled. See, Peter and John, I think it was Peter and John, they were filled at Pentecost, Acts 2. Yeah, Peter and John were filled in Acts 2 at Pentecost. But then we read that they were filled again in Acts chapter 4. So, as we've looked through the scripture, it seems to declare that it must be a separate experience to salvation doesn't seem true either. Because as seen in the scripture, the Spirit comes on people at all different times. For some, it can happen at conversion. For some, afterwards. For some, it was before, although this is unlikely. But what is consistent through the scriptures is that they were different. When they received the Spirit, they were changed. There was a noticeable change. Power was given. Boldness was imparted. Joy was poured out. Spontaneous praise was seen or heard. And tongues was often seen as well. And so I don't think it matters. I think we get really caught up on when does the baptism of the Holy Spirit happen? It has to be a second experience, or it has to be this, or it has to happen here. Well, actually, no. But there is a change that comes. There is we are indwelt with the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, at conversion. We all have the Holy Spirit. But I think there's more. It wasn't just meant to be that's it. There is all baptism means is to be immersed, to be filled. There is a filling of the Spirit that is not just a once-off event. So whether that happens when you get saved or whether that happens afterwards, but there was a noticeable difference in the people when they were filled with the Spirit. And we see that time after time after time, again and again and again. And I love, there was a pastor that used to be the senior pastor here called Richard Roy. Some of you may remember him. And he was the principal at Tabor Bible College for a while. And he writes a brilliant book about life in the Spirit. And he's got this, he shares his testimony in this book about how he used to be a pastor in the 80s down in Albany. And they would meet with a whole bunch of different pastors from around. And they would get together for prayer and fellowship. And Richard Roy, he was Pentecostal and he believed, you know, in the filling of the Holy Spirit and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there was an officer from the Salvation Army who was not into that at all. Once you receive Christ, that is it. Done and dusted, no more. And so they chose not to speak about that. Christ was the main point. It didn't matter about the rest. Anyway, one time, this Salvation Army pastor came to Richard and he said, I'm really struggling. Would you please pray for me? So Pastor Richard lay hands on him and just prayed very quietly. His girls were sleeping. And he prayed this calm prayer. Dear God, fill Al with your Spirit so he may be strengthened in this time of turmoil. After praying this, to Richard's amazement, this the Salvation Army officer, fell to the ground like he'd been shot and lay on the ground for about 20 to 30 minutes praising God and singing in tongues. Now, this army officer did not believe in the gift of speaking in tongues. And so when he finally came to, he had a big smile on his face and he said, wow, that was an incredible experience. And Richard had to say, look, I'm not sure if you realize, but I'm sorry to tell you, but you were actually singing in other tongues for 20 minutes. And he goes, oh, well, you don't have to be sorry. He said, that was the most incredible experience where the love of God was poured out. And he said, if that's what, you know, I'm all for that. And then he walked outside and then he started to see the traffic lights and he goes, wow, they are the most beautiful lights I have ever seen. And do you know, that moment marked that man's walk with God and his ministry for, you know, for the rest of his years to come. Richard Roy wrote this book 10 years ago and he said that man was still ministering and he was still talking about that defining moment. Isn't God good? I like what Richard Roy says about how he explains all of this. And if I've been confusing, hopefully he'll make it very clear. So I've got a quote up on the screens. But he says, at conversion, believers receive the Spirit of Christ. But Scripture clearly tells us of infillings of the Spirit subsequent to conversion. Acts 8, 4:31, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. This infilling of the Spirit comes as a distinct experience and should hopefully be followed by other infillings throughout our Christian walk. The primary evidence of this infilling is the power and the grace of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Speaking in tongues may accompany an infilling or conversion, as in Acts 19, but the main evidence is the manifested change in a person's life, namely the presence of Jesus, his power, gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit. Something changes when we are filled with the Spirit. And it may not be as dramatic as that Salvation Army officer. He did not believe in it at all. And so God had to do something quite incredible and powerful for him to believe. And that doesn't always happen. But there is a change within. And it's not important when baptism happens, but that you are filled with the Spirit and keep on being filled. And I believe to teach that all you need to do is receive Christ and that is it, is one of the reasons why we see a lack of power in the church and in our lives. So how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? In my own life, it's been about I've desired it. I've hungered for more of God. The Bible also teaches that we are to simply ask for it. Matthew 7 verse 7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. And in the parallel passage of Luke, which also has the same wording in chapter 11, he then adds more and he says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And this was my revelation in Alpha, that I just need to ask. How much more will the Father give me the Holy Spirit and fill me afresh as I simply ask? Sometimes he just comes. But in our hearts, we need to be open because he doesn't just force himself on you. And then in my experience, it's been as we just wait, as we're patient, like the ones in the upper room. They waited, they prayed for 10 days and they weren't in a rush. So sometimes God does it instantly and you're just filled with his power, you're filled with his love. Often it's an outpouring of his love. But to go, okay, God, fill me, yep, I'm done. I've received it by faith, amen. But there is sometimes a need to wait and to persevere in that. And then we receive by faith. We always receive God's gifts by faith. So how do we walk in power? We are filled with the Holy Spirit. The next point is that we live by the Spirit. There is intimacy with the Spirit. Spurgeon says, the bottle of the creatures cracks and dries up, but the well of the Creator never fails. Happy is he who dwells at the well and so has abundant and constant supplies near at hand. Jesus spent time with the Father. He prayed. He went off alone. He spent time fasting. In fact, when he was first baptized in water and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, it then tells how he went into the desert for 40 days where he prayed and he fasted. And in that time he was tempted by the devil. But it says that when he left the desert, he left in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that fasting is a key to walking in power. Because when we fast, it's not about our works that get something, but we let go of the distractions. We let go of the things of the flesh. We become more focused on the things of the Spirit, more aware of the Holy Spirit and what he's doing. And Jesus was a great example of, he never went out in an independent spirit. He was always in full submission to the Father. And he only ever did what the Father told him to do. And so we need to develop, if we want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to develop that intimacy and closeness with the Holy Spirit and not rely upon a minister, not rely upon a church service. The Holy Spirit is a person, our comforter, our teacher, our advocate, our friend. He's not a force. He's not a spiritual experience or emotional high. He is a person. And we need to keep in step with the Spirit and remain close to him and rely upon his power working in and through us. My dad always taught me this, there are no shortcuts to a life of power and anointing. So we want what we see, like we see people moving that and we're like, we want that, but we're not willing to actually lay down our lives. We're not willing to fast and to pray and to spend time in the Word. But at the same time, it's also not about you. Which leads me to my next point, that if we want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, then we need to be emptied of self. Paul was someone that walked in great power, yet he had this ailment that never went away. The thorn in his flesh. And there's been many debates about what that may be. But he pleaded 3 times for the Lord to take it away, and God wouldn't do it. But what he said to him, I believe, is the key to why Paul walked in such power and anointing in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Paul was also the one that said, I die daily. Self gets in the way of walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, then you need to get out of the way. Humble yourselves. Learn that it's not about you, but about who you carry. The Holy Spirit is the source of all power. And I was recently listening to a pastor. Her name's Pastor Catherine Rinalda. And she sees many, many healings, like incredible healings. In fact, I was just listening to a testimony where there was a boy that couldn't speak. He had autism. And they prayed for healing, and he now can speak. Incredible stories. But she shared this time when she was praying for someone to be healed. And she had so much desire and hunger, and she was praying the best prayer she knew, but nothing was changing. And she didn't know why, and so she then heard this whisper of the Holy Spirit in her ear and said, do you need some help with that? And in that moment, she's like, oh, Holy Spirit, I've just been relying on my strength, my power, my ways of praying, and repented of that and just said, Holy Spirit, come. Lord, just bring your healing. And that person was healed. And I know not always people are healed, but it's not about you. It's about the spirit of power that you carry. And God taught me this a very long time ago when I was in Brazil. I'd gone on a missions trip with Tim Taylor and a few others. And I was only 19, and we, as a team, did lots of church services. And we'll get into like one of, we'd been there, I think, 3 weeks, and we'll get into one of our last meetings. And I was sitting there just hoping the preacher would not ask the team to come up and pray. I was not in the mood for any more prayer. I wanted to go and have ice cream, and I wanted to go and hang out with the team. And so I was there, please don't call us, please don't call us. Anyway, the preacher called us with the team, come and pray for people. And so I went reluctantly, but in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And some of you may have heard this story, but it's just such a good example of the Spirit's power. But I was praying for this woman, and she was quite a large woman, and was just praying, Holy Spirit, come and fill her. And all of a sudden, I could see her swaying and I could see her rocking, and I knew she was coming down and it was going to be in my direction. And I didn't know what to do, so I just yelled, help! And I don't know if you remember George Vinopoulos. He was one of the pastors here, but he was on the team, and he came running over, and just in time, we managed to lay this lady down. In our weakness, his power is made perfect. At that moment, I was weak. I was done being in church and praying. I was exhausted, but I was willing. And in our willingness to be a vessel unto him, his power is made perfect in our weakness. Jesus humbled himself by clothing himself in humanity and laying aside the privileges that were his in heaven. He is our example of what it looks like to be humble, yet to be so full of the Holy Spirit and power that he went around doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. It's not about us. It's about who you carry. The Spirit of power. Did you know that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside you? That is the power that we carry. That is the power at operation in us. But we need to learn, number four, step out in faith. So we have, I think, one of the key reasons why we don't is that we are filled with the Spirit. I think we can become, I don't know what the word is, but I remember as a young person, you're always going up on altar calls. You're always going up to be filled with the Spirit. You're always, you know, receiving the power. But then we went back and we did nothing with it. And so we just became these spiritual fat Christians that sat there with all this power and all this love and all this compassion, but we did nothing. And so if we want to see his power flow, we need to step out. We actually need to step out in faith. And we need to believe what the scripture says. John 14 verse 12 says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. This is Jesus' words. What had Jesus been doing? He was doing good and healing all that were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Now, I'm not going to go into all what that means, but the point is, you will do the things that Jesus did, because we have been filled with the same Spirit that filled Christ, namely the Holy Spirit, which is why he's called the Spirit of Christ. 2 Timothy, now, no, let that sink in. One's excited. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, of love and self-control. In other words, he's given us the spirit of power, he's given us the spirit who is love, and he's given us the spirit of self-control. He's given us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said rivers of living water would stream from us. And you've heard me say this before, but we are called to be a river, not a dam. A dam just holds the water. It's kind of like the Dead Sea. After a while, it becomes dead because there's only an inlet, there's no outlet. But rivers of living water will flow from within and flow out. It is the stepping out in the obedience of the Father to do the works of Jesus, to be a witness to the whole world in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 to 5. He says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." That is what we need in the church. That is what we need in the world. And we spend too much time, particularly on Facebook, social media stuff, using wise, which aren't very wise, and persuasive words, which aren't very persuasive, and look like fools. But what we need is a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite one of our people up, Pat Shaw, who's going to share a testimony of this very fact of seeing a demonstration of the power of God. So why don't you give her a warm welcome? So Pat works at HCCO, our volunteer, where we feed people with food and with different things. And so she has an awesome testimony of what happened with one of the people that came to receive food.
Thanks, Kyla. Yeah, good morning, church. I'm privileged to be a volunteer at HCCO and just be able to show God's love to these people who are, in most of them, in dire need of food. I've been working there for 3 years, and I've worked in all areas, but currently I'm on the front desk, and I welcome people and I sign them in, and I get an opportunity to hear some of their stories. There's one particular gentleman who comes every fortnight, and he's slow. He walks slowly. He doesn't have a limp or anything like that, but he's not got much energy. His face is sallow, and you can tell he's not well. Nothing specific. He would never share very much about himself. I'm on the desk last Tuesday, and this gentleman walks towards me, walking sprightly. He's got colour in his cheeks. And I couldn't help but comment and say, "Wow, you look so well today." And he told me the story. 2 weeks prior, when he had been for his food, one of our team had quietly taken him outside and prayed with him. And he said to me, "From that moment on, I have started getting better. I have been healed."
I love that story. God uses everyday, ordinary people that are willing and obedient to step out in faith and to say, "Can I pray for you?" You know, and this man has now been healed, and his comment to Pat was, "I have been healed by Jesus." You know, that's awesome. Let us not just use wise and persuasive words, but so that people would then look to us. But let's step out in faith, knowing he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world, and that peoples would rest on God's power. Like he wants to use you, church. He wants to use, you know, from the young to the old. He wants to use, it doesn't matter whether you feel you're equipped or not equipped, because the truth is you are equipped. If you've received his power, you've received his Holy Spirit, you are equipped. In fact, God specializes in using people that feel like they're not equipped, that feel like they're not worthy. Let that not be a stumbling block for stepping out in faith. And so you've heard me speak on different things today about the filling of the Holy Spirit, about keeping in step with the Spirit, about emptying of self, and about stepping out in faith. And I talked initially about what are the things that can hinder the Holy Spirit. Spoke about a lack of understanding and knowledge, about fear, about distraction. But I want to end with one of the big ways that we can restrict the Holy Spirit's power working, and that is through grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit. See, Paul warns us in Ephesians and Thessalonians not to grieve the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit. And the word quench means to constrict, to try and stop. You know, and how do we do that? Obviously, it's by our behavior. But sometimes we try and shut things down that we don't understand. Or we can't contain. Or we don't agree with. It may be today that you haven't agreed with some of the things that I've taught. And that's actually okay. Go and search the scriptures yourself. Go and ask the Holy Spirit. I think let's not get caught up on words here. There's many ways to describe what I spoke about today. But let us know that the Bible talks about we all need to be filled with the Spirit and to keep on being filled and to keep on being filled. Sometimes we don't like the way that the Holy Spirit seems to work on people. We get distracted. I grew up going to church in the 90s when the Holy Spirit was poured out on high and people would be rolling around and laughing. There would be people running around the church. There would be people weeping at the altar. I never was one that laughed, but I was one that wept. And I would just cry and cry and cry. And some people were offended by that. And there were some that were manifestations of the flesh. But at the end of the day, don't worry about that. You just keep your eyes on Jesus. You just keep asking. You keep just saying, Lord, I need you. I need to be filled with your power. Let not what's going around us distract us. Because what Thessalonian church was doing, they were trying to shut down the prophecy and all that, the work of the Spirit, because they were afraid it was getting out of hand. And Paul's answer was, test it, but don't quench it. And the other thing that in worship, I was just, I felt the Holy Spirit say that another thing is some of you are striving. And when we strive and when we try and make things happen and when we plead with God I used to be like this all the time, and my dad would say when I'd come down the front to receive, stop striving. Stop striving. Because I was so desperate. I was so hungry. Lord, I want more of you. But in my striving, I was again stopping what God wanted to do. And we have to learn to rest and just simply ask. If I can have the worship team, please. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit's power for service, for strengthening and for overcoming sin. And at the start, I talked about my journey with my friend, the Holy Spirit. And my life has been so enriched, so exciting and so rewarding because of him. He is the Spirit of power in me. And anything I do see is not because of me, but it's because of who dwells in me. And I really believe the Father wants to give people an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may never have been filled. You've received Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in, but you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit for power, for to be witnesses unto him. Or some of you just may want a fresh filling. See, we need more and more of him. I don't know if you've heard of Moody. He was one of the great evangelists who led one of the biggest churches in Chicago. And I'm going to close with this. He had two women that would attend his meetings and they would sit on the front row praying for him. After the service, he would ask, "Who are you praying for?" "You," they said. "Well, why don't you pray for the people?" "Because you need the power of the Spirit," they would say. "I need the power? Why? I have the biggest church in Chicago and there are many conversions." But their words got him thinking and he talked to them more later. They again urged him, "You need the filling of the Spirit." And so there came a great hunger in his soul. "I do not know what it was, but I began to cry out like I have never cried out before. I needed this power for service." Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day. I cannot describe it, but that day God revealed himself to me and I had such an experience of his love. I went back to preaching again and the sermons were not different. The truths I presented were not different, but hundreds were converted after this. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all of life, I would not trade it for the world. Even Moody recognized that he needed the Spirit's power. And I hope that is what you've heard today, is that we need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to fall afresh. Come like fire. Come like wind. Holy Spirit, fan into flame your church. Fan into flame your people. Holy Spirit, we need you. That you would fill people with fresh boldness. That you would fill people with compassion and love. That you would fill people with your gifts. That you would fill people with the fruit of the Spirit. That we might be witnesses for you, Lord Jesus, and see many, many come, many miracles, many great things done in your name. So we're going to stand. We're going to sing. But if you want to be filled afresh today, then I'm going to invite you to come down the front. I'm going to ask the elders, pastors, just to stand at the front. We're just going to simply lay hands on you and just say, "Holy Spirit, come." We're not going to pray over you, prophesy. We're just going to say, "Holy Spirit, come." And it's not a person. It says that Jesus baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And so we're just going to wait and ask him, "Lord, fill us." And just wait in his presence, however long it takes. Spend as long as you want. But I believe he wants to fill people afresh today. Amen. So why don't we stand? Why don't we sing? And if you would like prayer, then come to the front. And if you would like to give your life to Jesus, and you've not received Jesus before, then I also ask you to come to the front and just let the person know in praying for you that you want to give your heart to Jesus today. Amen.